It's got a complicated web of emotions going on. It's a love story. And of course, you know, the undercurrent of it all is the music that links it all together. It's a very exciting book. I find it absolutely gripping. And I just love the way that Jessica manages to bring the music to life and the characters. And it's also seamless.
Did you like the bits about the Hungarian gypsy background? Because I thought that was really a world that was open to me. And I noticed that one of the reviewers said, you know, this book brings to life Hungarianness, which you might think is a quite rarefied thing. But when you're reading about it and this passion of this child growing up to become a great player.
Absolutely. I mean, it is the passion of the music that really comes out. And I adore Hungarian music myself. And I love the idea of the gypsy fiddling, and a little known fact is that on my first visit to Budapest I went to a restaurant, and of course there was the fiddler that came up, and there was a cymbal on, and there I was being serenaded, and he looked at me and he said, "You are looking at me with a professional eye." And I didn't really know what to say. I'd had half a bottle of bull's blood and I really didn't want to play very much. And anyway, he handed me the violin. I said, no, really, I'm very happy just to listen. He wasn't going to be put off at all. So I absolutely had to play. And of course, the only thing that I knew that I could play with the cymbal and player was the czardas. So that was my debut in Budapest.
And you didn't say you want your second finger, just move it up a little bit. Now, what I do like about these proms talks is that the final choice gives us all a sneaky insight into the sense of humour of our guests. So why don't you tell us about your final choice and why it tickles your funny bone?
Oh, I love Hilaire Belloc. Like Shakespeare, I practically grew up with his writing. It's such funny, silly stuff. And I love the way that he, in these cautionary tales, there's something for the grown-ups there. It does say it's for children, but frankly, I think it's just as much for adults.
Henry Goodman's going to read us Henry King from Hilaire Belloc's Cautionary Tales for Children.
The chief defect of Henry King was chewing little bits of string. At last he swallowed some which tied itself in ugly knots inside. Physicians of the utmost fame were called at once, but when they came, they answered, as they took their fees, "There is no cure for this disease. Henry will very soon be dead." His parents stood about his bed, lamenting his untimely death, when Henry, with his latest breath, cried, "Oh, my friends, be warned by me that breakfast, dinner, lunch, and tea are all the human frame requires. With that, the wretched child expires."
So we've come full circle back to your childhood. What makes the tale so special for you? Is it this is rather dark, combination of dark and light that Henry has just brought to life so beautifully there?
Well, perhaps it was that I was a child that enjoyed my food a great deal. So perhaps perhaps I wanted my breakfast, lunch, dinner and my tea as well. But I didn't have a passion for eating bits of string.
I do hear that the rhymes might have even persuaded you to turn your own hand to poetry at one point.
Well, I wasn't really going to admit it on air, but perhaps it's too late now anyway.
Oops. In
addition to writing sonnets when I was quite young, I also began writing some absolutely truly dreadful verse, and I think it's all Hilaire Belloc's fault.
Well, I'm afraid that's where our journey around Tasman's literary choices must end, and I hope you've enjoyed our voyage from Shakespeare to Hilaire Belloc as much as I have. My thanks to Tasman Little for sharing her favourites with us, and to Henry Goodman for bringing them to life.
Anne McElvoy presented this evening's Proms Plus literary event, and the producer was Georgia Mann. A welcome back to the Royal Albert Hall from me, Penny Gore, where we're about to begin the second half of tonight's BBC Prom, live on BBC Radio 3 and online at bbc.co.uk/proms, where you can listen in extra high quality HD sound and read programme notes for the concert. The BBC National Orchestra of Wales and conductor Jacques Van Steen have two more works to come. Zoltán Kodály's exuberant Hari Janos Suite rounds off the evening, but first the orchestra is joined by another soloist. A piano took its place front of stage during the interval, and it's awaiting the arrival of Marc-André Amelin, who will be the soloist in Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. Taking as its basic theme the 24th solo violin caprice by Paganini, which is put through its paces in a series of 24 brilliant variations, the first of which cheekily appears at the beginning, before the theme itself has even got a look in. Marc-André Amelin has acquired a reputation for being attracted to especially virtuosic pieces. And when I talked to him earlier, I asked him if that was fair comment.
No.
Why not?
Threw you a curve, didn't I?
Absolutely.
I come to it from another completely different angle. I'm sorry that that's the reputation I have, but what it is really is that I am naturally attracted to densely constructed, orchestrally conceived, contrapuntal piano music, and this kind of writing will often tend to be very demanding. But I think I'm a little lazier than people usually tend to think, and preparing these things, you know, I go through whatever lengths it takes, you know, but I don't enjoy playing difficult music. I enjoy the musical result, really, hearing the musical result. I don't enjoy the physical side of it.
And you yourself are, like Rachmaninoff, you're a composer as well as a pianist. Mm-hmm. Is your composing something that grew out of your playing? Or was it the other way around? Were you composing?
No, I can remember from the very first, I started music lessons when I was five, and from the very first I saw what my father, who was an amateur pianist, had around as far as his score collection. I mean, he loved Liszt, he loved Chopin and Schumann and people like that. Natural curiosity, natural creative impulse, I wanted to do the same thing. And I started to put notes to paper. And of course, for many years, what I put down was absolute nonsense and musically worthless. But the creative urge was there. So I would say that the two grew side by side.
With this piece, Rachmaninoff really stamped his personality all over it. So does that make it more difficult for you?
You know, in the case of this piece, I don't feel like one has to do very much, because first of all, it's written on much clearer lines. Pretty much gone is the sort of intertwining and dense writing of the other piano concerti. I mean, this is just lean and mean. You know, it really achieves its purpose with fewer means, I think.
Marc-André Amelin talking to me earlier, and he'll be on stage in a couple of moments as the soloist in Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. And we're mentioning there that Rachmaninoff was a pianist and a composer, and it was an enforced break from his hectic touring schedule in 1934 that gave him some unexpected time and energy to begin on this major new piece. And he originally called it Symphonic Variations, and he told a friend it's rather a large work and no concerto. As I was saying earlier, it takes as its basic theme the 24th solo violin caprice by Paganini, which was already very well known to Rachmaninoff. It had been reworked by Liszt and Brahms. And applause now for Marc-André Amelin striding on stage, followed by Jacques Van Steen for tonight's Proms performance with the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. Of Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini.
Thank you.
celebrated Paganini theme interwoven with the more ominous Dies Irae, virtually the trademark of Sergei Rachmaninoff. He gave the first performance of his own Paganini Rhapsody in 1934, and tonight we've just heard another prodigious composer-pianist, Marc-André Amelin, with the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, conducted by Jacques Funstein. Great cheer from the Proms audience you heard there. And the members of the BBC National Orchestra of Wales adding their applause too. And bringing our soloist back on stage. Marc-André Amelin's already been here at the Proms this year. You may have heard him playing solo Liszt, this being one of this season's featured composers. He was saying earlier that it was an awesome experience, not least for the warmth of the reception he got from the Proms audience. And a warmth echoed here tonight as well. A list something of a focus for him at the moment. Next season, he'll be playing works by the composer with the Basel Symphony Orchestra. He'll also be tackling Ferruccio Busoni's piano concerto with the Berlin Radio Symphony Orchestra. And Marc-André Amelin back on stage with Jacques Funstein, who doesn't want to share in this applause. He wants Marc-André Amelin to take a bow and, of course, bring the orchestra to its feet too. As today's programme book notes, Rachmaninoff himself didn't actually get round to appearing at the Proms, although he was seen here at the Royal Albert Hall. He was playing his second piano concerto at the Silver Jubilee concert held for Henry Wood. That was in 1938. Marc-André Amelin and Jacques Funstein off stage now, and the members of the orchestra retake their seats, or some of them do. Others go off stage ready for the final work in tonight's concert. And the finale too this evening is a brilliant concert suite by Zoltán Kodály. Six colourful movements drawn from his opera Hari János. Now, Kodály's lifelong fascination with the music of his native Hungary underpins the piece, and an unusual folk instrument takes centre stage here, a cymbalum. It's played tonight by Ed Chervenka, and earlier in the day, he told me a little more about it.
It's a little bit like the inside of a grand piano. It's basically trapezium shaped, and it has strings running across the top, and it's set above a cast iron frame, but it's got very decorative wood around the outsides. You strike the strings with beaters of different sorts, which consist of sort of felt and cotton, and you can sometimes have leather and wood beaters as well.
And they're very slender looking. They're almost like sort of conductor's batons, which are bound in felt and thread at the end.
That's right, yeah. I think the reason why they're so thin for the shafts is so you have a lot of flexibility.
And learning to play this instrument must be pretty challenging, I think, because you're originally a percussionist.
I'm a percussionist as well. I divide my time between playing the cymbalum and playing percussion as a freelance player. But as with most cymbalum players, the reason I started to learn the instrument was because I was in the National Youth Orchestra, and in the Proms in 1993, they did Harrison Birtwistle's Gawain Journey, which has a big cymbalum part in it, and they asked me if I wanted to have a go at learning the instrument specially for that occasion, so I agreed.
Cymbalum player Ed Chervenka, listen out for the instrument's distinctive sound, especially in the third and fifth movements. Well, for Jacques Funstein, principal guest conductor of the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, Kodály's piece is a real treat.
Tonight being a prom, and a prom is a special festival where pieces like the Kodály, I think, work very well because they are very spectacular. And as audiences have so many different characters, also the music of Kodály has different characters that I think will sort of touch people's hearts, because for everyone in the hall, there is some movement that they say, well, that was very special.
And the orchestra, like the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, can really show off, because for every group, woodwinds, brass, percussion, strings, we have a choir in the string orchestra with the cymbalum, a saxophone is in, all soloists in the woodwinds can show off with what they can do with the music. So it's a very communicative piece.
Jacques van Steen, and Harry Janosch is a bit of a barroom boaster. This is the tale of an old man who claims to have been in the army, travelled to far-off lands, and single-handedly triumphed over Napoleon himself. Don't believe a word of it. And that signalled by an orchestral sneeze at the start, traditionally the sign that a few untruths are going to be told. Jacques van Steen on stage now to conduct the BBC National Orchestra of Wales.
Thank you.
A collection of very tall musical tales related in Kodály's Harry Janos suite, arranged from his opera of 1926. And what a treat to hear it after something of an absence from the BBC Proms. It was once a regular favourite, but tonight is its first performance since 1993. The BBC National Orchestra of Wales was conducted by Jacques van Steen, who's working his way around the orchestra. Every section got a chance to shine there. Percussion players definitely kept on their toes. Lots of sounding brass, busy woodwind, plus a saxophone, orchestral piano, celesta, and of course the cymbalum played by Ed Cervenka. He was telling me earlier that 15 years or so ago, when he decided to buy his own cymbalum, he and his dad drove all the way to Budapest to collect it from the traditional workshop that still makes these lovely folk instruments. And the strings, of course, not forgetting the strings, lovely part for principal viola there. And the whole of the BBC National Orchestra of Wales standing to acknowledge this applause. Well, they have a very busy few days ahead. No rest for them after tonight. They have a concert on Thursday in the Vale of Glamorgan Festival. That's at BBC Hoddinott Hall. Music by Steve Reich and a new work for cello and orchestra from Mark Bowden. And listen out for that concert in Here and Now. That's on BBC Radio 3 later this month. And a week today, the orchestra will be celebrating the last night of the Proms, live in Caerphilly for Proms in the Park, with Ellen Manahan-Thomas and Wyn Evans as soloists, and musical magic from Mozart, Harry Potter and The Wizard of Oz. And Jacques van Steen back on stage now. Great cheers here for these players at the end of that marvellously colourful piece. We're not quite at the last night of the Proms yet, of course. There's still a week to go, and tomorrow here at the Royal Albert Hall there's a solo organ recital. We'll be hearing that organ in action again. That's at 4 o'clock, given by Thierry Escaiche. And then at 7, Beethoven's Missa Solemnis with the London Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, the London Philharmonic Choir and soloists, conducted by Sir Colin Davis. But after Harry Janosch's high spirits, they'll all be marching briskly out into the South Kensington evening. And we'll march briskly off too. That's all from us at the Royal Albert Hall for now. It's back to Broadcasting House and to Jonathan Swain.
Thank you very much, Penny. Penny Gore there at the Royal Albert Hall. And just to say, there's another chance to hear tonight's Prom here on BBC Radio 3 on Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock. As for Thursday night,
a BBC Proms favourite, live on Radio 3. Janine Jansen and the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. Philadelphia Orchestra and Charles Dutoit in a programme that also includes a work the orchestra brought to the world, Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances. Thursday night at the BBC Proms on Radio 3 from 7:30.
Back to this Saturday evening and drama in a little over 20 minutes' time tonight, a tender, violent Korean love story about cultural identity, sex and twisted revenge. This Isn't Romance is at 9:30 this evening. Until then, more music making from BBC Radio 3 new generation artists. 19-year-old Benjamin Grosvenor, who could forget his appearance at the first night of this year's Proms, playing the Liszt second piano concerto, among other things. And you may have heard him playing Chopin just before tonight's Prom. Well, Benjamin Grosvenor here, playing Ravel's Gaspard de la Nuit. Gaspard, Ravel said to a friend, has been the very devil to write, which is only logical since he is the author of the poems. The central piece evoking a corpse hanging from a gibbet lit by the setting sun, the last conjuring up a nightmarish gnome. And the first is the water nymph Ondine brushing against the window pane among the raindrops. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nightmare, Gnome, Scarbow, forever on the move, forever changing shape. The last of the three portraits which make up Ravel's Gaspard de la Nuit. The pianist was BBC Radio 3 new generation artist Benjamin Grosvenor from his recent album On Decca. And from one keyboard to another.
The pizzazz of a mercurial Parisian organist. Composer and improviser of high renown who makes his debut on the mighty instrument in the Royal Albert Hall. An organ recital at the BBC Proms by Thierry Escaiche. Juxtaposing his own works with those of Bach, Reger, Franck and Liszt. That's tomorrow afternoon on BBC Radio 3 from 4 o'clock.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's 9:30. Time now for The Wire. Tonight's play, This Isn't Romance, is set in the city of Seoul in South Korea and tells the story of two children who lose one another in early childhood but find one another again as adults. The play contains disturbing images and very strong language. First, let's hear from the playwright Insuk Chapel.
I was born in Korea and I was adopted into an English family when I was 2 years old. So I pretty much grew up English, but then obviously I looked Korean. I think up until my late 20s, I kind of ignored Korea and I ignored that part of myself. And then when I was 26, I went back, and I think it was going back to Korea and going back to a country that should be familiar, that you should feel at home in, and feeling completely foreign and alien. I chose not to try and find family. It just seemed like it was quite a long road to go down that would take many years and you have no idea what you might find. So I think my idea was to write a play instead and imagine. What's quite interesting is that among the Korean adoptees that I met, quite a few of them were quite anti-international adoption. I think possibly because they'd had a problem with this sort of split or fractured identity. I think that was what I decided I wanted to write about. And I also think that when you have been adopted, you always have like a fantasy life about what would have happened had I stayed in Korea. Would I have grown up in an orphanage? Would I have had to work in a factory? Would I have been a child prostitute? All these kind of fantasies. And I think that was possibly my starting point for the play.
This Isn't Romance by Insuk Chapel.
There's too much light. All white. Too much. Close my eyes again. Dark. No, I need to see.
Are you awake?
Yes, I think so.
How do you feel?
I don't know. Strange. Everything is... Where am I?
You were in safe place. In hospital. You were in accident. You were burned. You were in pain.
Yes.
You were sedated.
Please. Light hurts my eyes.
I opened the window, let in air.
I'm a blank. Bandages around my head. A white mask. Why hasn't he come? I'm waiting.
Is this your first time in Seoul?
No.
I mean your first time back.
Oh, yes.
How old are you?
32. Korean 33.
Nice bag. Jimmy Choo?
Yes.
Did your husband?
No, I don't have a husband.
No husband. No family.
No.
How long since you left?
I was 7 years old.
Korean 8.
A long time. 25 years.
I need a cigarette.
You can't smoke here.
Jesus.
Please don't swear. Nervous. These meetings, don't expect too much.
I don't...
Be realistic about the relationship. You strangers.
No, I...
You a foreigner.
안녕하세요.
안녕하세요.
This is Miss Blake. 이분이 Blake 씨예요.
블레이크 씨 같지가 않네요.
What did he say?
He said you don't look like a Miss Blake.
Oh.
제가 김한솜입니다.
His name Kim Hansom.
I know. Tell him to stop looking at me.
내 앞에서 눈이나 감으려고 그 먼 길을 왔어요?
You came a long way to close eyes.
나 진짜예요. 나 여기 있어요.
He is real. He is here.
날 좀 봐요.
Look at me. Him.
날 보라고. 나 알아보겠어? 마치 거울을 보는 것 같아.
He sees.
No! His hands trembling. Folding paper.
왜 울어?
Why are you crying?
It's the sound.
Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
미안해요, 이게 아닌데.
I feel...
너 기억 수 있어요.
Things I can't even remember.
기억할 수 없지, 몸.
이해가 안 돼요.
I don't understand.
왜 슬퍼하지?
Why are you sad?
너 섹시하고 부자잖아.
You're good looking. You're rich.
Oh, I've lost so much. I lost...
너무 많이 잊어버렸어요.
I can't even talk to...
잊어버렸어. 막 처처할 수 없어요.
잊어버렸다고 말하지 마.
Don't talk about loss to him.
I can't talk to him.
Maybe you can meet another time when you call Ma.
I've been talking to him for years. And now I don't know what to say.
I am a translator. If there are no words, I cannot do my job.
Ah! Oh, what you...
날 좀 봐.
What? A paper bird. Where's he gone?
Miss, whatever your name is, time is up now. You wanted to meet, you met.
I hate you.
Why are you angry?
You ugly, yellow, slant-eyed bitch!
Don't understand.
No, I hate all of you! I hate him and I hate Korea!
You should leave. You all come back. I don't know what you want. You are lucky. Get bad karma.
No!
It's time for your injection. I like your shiny needles now. Does it stop the heart? No. I feel pain. Funny, it doesn't scare me anymore. I can sit and watch it. Soon, it won't hurt.
Annyeong. Me, you, copy? Sangang cha?
Excuse me?
Oh, that's unexpected. Can I offer you a drink?
Yes, miss?
I'd like an espresso and a bowl of vanilla ice cream.
You should be hanging out at that nice-looking hotel over the road. We've got a great bar.
We?
I'm the proprietor.
Can I?
Of course. It's funny how you changed your tune.
Well, I don't accept drinks from strangers. But I could do with company.
My company?
Well, it's nice to hear an English voice, to be able to talk to someone.
Feeling homesick?
Yes, like a foreigner in a city where everyone looks like me.
So where'd you blow in from?
London.
Originally, I mean.
I grew up in Southend-on-Sea.
Get out of here. Are you an Essex girl?
Yeah, obviously. Look. What she is. Oh, the toasted sandwiches. The waffles are kitty-shaped.
Well, whatever makes you smile.
Well, that's what my name means. In Korean, it means smile.
What is your name?
Miso.
Like a soup. Well, you never heard that before, had you? I'm Jack. Jack Cash.
Oh, well, aren't you a little old to be in the Hello Kitty Cafe?
Likewise. I needed to escape. Fancied a pastry.
Don't you come here often?
No.
Hello, Mr. Cash.
Oh, you're not a regular here.
Oh, Mr. Cash is our regular next door. I work there too.
Oh, the strip club?
Not strip club. In and out of bunny club. At first, I was waitress, but now I'm promoted. Now I'm a bunny.
Yeah, good girl.
Another place to escape to.
Oh, I like a woman with an appetite.
I want to eat something cold, something bitter.
Sweetheart, I'm not the enemy. What brought you to Seoul?
I came here to find someone.
A man?
Yes.
Romantic interest?
Do you enjoy it?
What?
The hotel business.
Yes, so far. The Blanche House is my
place. How do you make your money?
You're very forward. If you didn't think I had money, you wouldn't have sat down, would you? I don't like clever women.
Can I have the bell?
Oh, what are you doing? Sorry if I was... What's that?
It's a paper bird. There's writing on the wing. You must want to see me again.
Here you are, Miss.
Hey, listen, don't go.
I have to meet a friend. Oh, sorry, I'm out of cash. Do you take cards?
Yes, Miss.
So how long are you staying in Seoul?
I don't know.
So I'd like to see you again.
This card has been a decline.
Oh, I can't have. Try it again.
Miss, do you have another card?
No, I don't have credit cards, just that Visa debit.
Sensible girl. Allow me.
I need a cigarette.
Girl as pretty as you shouldn't smoke.
I like my addictions.
Yeah, why deny yourself pleasure?
They remind me who I am. Give me focus.
You can't smoke here.
This is for you.
Thank you, Mr. Cash.
Listen, this is embarrassing, but...
Oh, don't worry, you just need to call your bank. They do it to me all the time when I'm abroad.
Well, do you think you could lend me some money?
Can't your friend...
Oh, no. No, he doesn't have any money.
Well, that's no good. Not for a woman like you.
It's not about money.
Well, what's it about, then? Love? Don't act dumb.
You don't like clever women.
I don't like stupid ones either. Here, take this.
That's too much.
That's only about 20 quid.
Oh, can't get my head around the one thing.
If you get tired of your friend, if you get hungry, you can find me over the road at the Blanche House. Here, take my car.
I'll send you the money.
It's a gift. I'm a generous man.
Speak English?
Yes.
You can understand. I'm Miso Blake. I used to be Kim Miso.
Many Kim here.
Can I?
Do you have a cigarette?
Yes.
When I have money, this is the brand I buy.
I didn't know you could speak English. Why didn't you the other day?
You not speak to me. You not look at me.
It's like looking in a mirror.
Oh, you're hot.
I'm your blood. I'm your family.
What do you want from me? Leave me alone! What's the matter?
There are sounds that are only in Korea. I don't understand.
How dare you cry?
Why did you come?
I'm your sister.
Why so long? How old are you?
3 years older than you.
You old woman. You married?
No.
Then you left over birthday cake.
Well, not in London.
Well, then go back there.
The interpreter said...
I hate her.
Me too.
I want to punch her in the face.
Oh, I threw a chair at her.
I want only you and me. Don't touch me.
Can I have some?
It's soju. Korean drink. You like to drink soju?
Yes, please.
Women. Think the world, all them. Then they get old.
Please don't hate me.
How? I hated you when I see you.
I know.
Your strange voice, Western bones, you look like money.
I don't have Western bones. They're Korean bones, your bones.
You look like me, but like a stranger. Arrogant bitch with hard currency.
I don't have any... I can feel you.
Where?
Inside me. I love you.
Take your clothes off.
No. I love you like a sister. I came back to Korea to find you.
Do you want me?
You're beautiful.
Do you like to fuck?
You are me. You're the part of me I lost.
Do you like to
fuck? No!
And then why so pretty? Oh, I love it. It's like vomiting. Dying at the same time. It's life when you want to stop. Go on, dance. Look. This is Korean skin. Your skin. This is what you're ashamed of.
No.
In that room, you were ashamed of me.
It hurt to look at you.
You think because I'm poor and yellow, it did not hurt me? Oh, I know who you are. I think about you every day since you left. But I can never see your face. It's the back of a little girl in a yellow dress walking away.
I'm sorry.
That's not enough. Your face? Your face is my face too. No, they're not coming back tonight.
But...
I'm tired. I'll tell you in the morning.
Things may seem easier in the morning.
If I curl up in a small ball, will you hold me from behind?
Yes.
Will you press your knees up behind mine? Will you put your hand there? Tickles. I'll turn your head. Breathe there, back my neck.
I love you.
It does not mean anything.
It does.
No. The only thing means anything is money. And I'm broke.
Oh. Is there coffee?
No. You have to go outside.
No, not yet. Last night?
Yeah.
Who were they?
Oh. That. I'm in trouble. I borrowed money. The interest is too high. That was stupid. They're not reasonable people.
Well, how much do you need?
3,500,000.
What?
One.
Oh! Korean money. Well, that's about $2,000. I'll get it.
Hold me.
Oh, I don't feel alive until I've had coffee. You're a taxi driver.
Yeah.
This morning you look like a Korean girl. I want to speak Korean for you.
I lost. I forgot.
Sometimes it's better to forget. Where did you go?
England.
Straight away?
No.
I don't think you can come back and not tell me.
I met a couple. An older couple. I was hungry. They bought me a sandwich.
You went away with them?
Yes. I stayed with them for a while at their hotel. That was paperwork, legalities.
And you never mentioned me?
No.
Did they love you? Your family?
They tried.
And did you love them?
You wouldn't let me. They're religious, we don't speak anymore.
You are opportunist.
Your English is good.
I had an English friend. I lived with him for a while. Show me a world of money. Teach me his language, his way. Introduce me to his friend.
I'm glad you had a friend.
He was not a friend. He was opportunist. They like us young, poor, pretty.
Oh.
He used to take me to American movies. I love movies. When I was very young, it's too late. I did not know how to drink. No hope, but I could see movies. And one day, I came home and there's a boy there. A kid. 14 years old.
I'm sorry.
I was 21. Too old. Too.
Too?
Late. As soon as you left me, too late. Where did you leave me?
On a street corner. On a
step?
Yes.
I was 4 years old. I don't know how long I waited there. I was hungry, thirsty. I pissed there, but I did not leave. You said you were coming back, and I believed you.
Well,
What happened to you after I...
I live in orphanage. After you're gone, I hear you talking to me. And sometimes I talk back.
I used to talk to you. Every day I'd feel guilty. Want to die.
Then why didn't you?
I always meant to come back. Dreamed of you forgiving me.
This is hotel.
Wait here. I need to wash, get my things.
I'll come with you.
No. I promise. I'm coming back. Here. Take my passport. My purse. I won't be long. My body feels different. Feels alive, loved. Mew Mew, Marc Jacobs, Ghost, Louboutins, Primani. Pretty sparkly things. Pretty sparkly girl.
Why are you looking back?
No reason. I checked out.
Well, you stay with me.
Yes.
Where shall we go?
Abkujang.
Why?
Well, I'm going to get you the money.
Miso.
Then will you forgive me?
After. Let's spend the day together.
Yes, I like that.
What's in Abkujang?
Naomi Modeling Agency. That's what I do.
Aniraniga! Stupid dick. Are you the English girl?
Yes.
The storm model?
Yes.
Did you bring your book?
No, but I'm on the internet.
Go ahead. That isn't the Storm website.
Oh, I'm not with them anymore. I started off at the top and worked my way to...
How tall are you?
5'7". 5'6".
How old are you?
Look at this. Oh, and this. It was for Vogue.
What year? You've got some nice tears. This is very London.
Yeah, ID Magazine. The photographer was obsessed with Serge Gainsbourg. Smeared me in Vaseline, tied me to a radiator.
Excuse me? Yes, it's very European.
I've worked a lot. Editorial, catalogue, even showroom. I was the sort of girl that always wanted to be working, earning money.
Sorry.
Why?
See, that's a question you should never ask. You've got rejection issues. You're too small, too old for my taste.
I mean, it doesn't have to be. When I was in London and I was hard up, my agency used to get me gigs where I go to parties, get paid cash in hand.
We're not that sort of agency. I'm sorry. Were you a Holt baby?
How do you know?
After a while, you get a sense. Adoptee radar. Come on, sit down. Come on. What's your name?
Miso.
Pretty. It's nice that your adoptive parents let you keep your name.
They called me Rachel. Wanted me to fit in.
I'm Naomi.
Oh, yes. Of course.
We all got biblical names. Two farmers from Oregon carrying out God's work, and they revolutionized international adoption. And no one contested it. I wasn't an orphan. Most of us weren't orphans. We had parents, but they were poor.
I was an orphan.
They made young girls feel bad if they clung to their babies to bring them up in poverty, when they could go to America and be brought up in affluence eating McDonald's. Now, Holt are everywhere. Wherever there's poverty, they set up shop. What the hell are they still doing in Korea? I screamed all the way from Seoul to Tennessee.
Is that where you grew up?
Yes. I used to backcomb my hair. You like it real big out there. Wear blue eyeshadow. Dolly Parton was my looks icon. I tried to fit in. And then after school, I moved to New York and discovered style. Started working in fashion.
Oh, I hate fashion.
It's not personal. It's business. It's women want to be beautiful, and everything about beauty costs money. And it all comes down to the same thing.